Fuck that place.
Hey, Zach, you know
Seriously.
what? I strongly agree. Welcome back to Dome and Bedlam, the official Lookout Landing podcast. My name is Nathan Bishop. I am the managing editor of Lookout Landing. I have the two normal people that I always have with me. I have David Skiba, who just got home and is rushing through dinner. David, do you have food in your mouth currently?
I'm not eating. I haven't eaten for weeks.
Okay. Just all, we're on the all booze diet.
Yeah, I mean, it's good for you.
Liquid diet, right? That's what they say?
I think that's the word.
Liquid, right. Also,
it's a phrase.
Yes. Scott Weber, how are things?
Yeah. Hi.
Hi.
How could things not be wonderful after yesterday, which was not only one of the most fun games in the, I would say the two most fun games in Europe happened in the last 5 days.
Whoa.
Wow. And what a night last night, too. With you
spoiling the Twitter Q&A already.
If there is one man that can tell us why things are not all right, it's our guest, which is staff writer Zach Sanders, reporting to us. Are you currently at your place of business?
I'm currently conducting business from my home.
Your home office.
Yes. Also known as a chair.
In the middle of 8th Street in Bellevue.
Zach, can you tell me in general why things are not great?
Playoff odds are below one third. That's not good.
Okay, that's fair enough. Real quick, are you guys drinking, before I forget, because we're going to do a shorter episode, I'm getting ready to leave town in a couple days. Scott has very busy, very important business plans tonight, and David's opening a brewery. So we're all doing stuff. We're kind of hustling. You guys drinking anything tonight?
Mm-hmm.
Load.
What are you drinking?
I'm on that Fort George Big Guns Session IPA train, and it is wonderful.
I like.
Now, is that Guns with a Z or with an S?
It's a Guns with an S. Very respectable.
Okay. I think I like it less now, actually.
4.2 ABV. The can is always my preference, and I'm enjoying it.
Nice. Scott?
I am drinking a Cascade Lakes Hop Smack, and it's an IPA, 6.4, 82 IBUs, despite the highly unfortunate name that riffs off shitty rock bands. It is a very nice beer out of Redmond, Oregon.
Oh, I've been there, just north of Bend.
Mm-hmm.
Nice place.
It's nice. It's a nice solid IPA. I'll toss it in the rotation. Nothing special about it, but I mean, you can botch an IPA. Just ask Diamond Knot.
Oh, damn! Shots fired. Speaking of botching alcohol, this has all been a prelude. Zach, what are you drinking?
I am currently enjoying a bottle of water. Previously today, I was at a certain not Lookout Landing related local brewery, and so I had some there. But now I'm relaxing for the evening and preparing to not slur my words on this podcast.
Nice. Oh. We appreciate that, but did not expect it.
A pleasant surprise. I am a lush.
So we're recording, kind of unfortunate timing, we're recording in the bottom of the first inning, Thursday, August 10th, Mariners are...
Wednesday.
When?
Thursday.
Wednesday.
Thursday, August 9th. Wednesday, August 10th. It's the bottom of the first, and Felix Hernandez and Justin Verlander are going toe-to-toe in what should have been the rubber match of a three-game series, since the Mariners had no business winning last night's game whatsoever.
Nope.
On a variety of reasons, be it starting Wade LeBlanc against the Detroit Tigers or striking out 17 times against Daniel Norris and a shitty Detroit collection of relievers. Yet they somehow won, and now they're going to play. And Zach, I wanted to ask you the question because it's something we were kind of talking about. There's been parallels between Felix and Justin Verlander over the years, just similar success, both big fastballs when they first came up. Obviously, Verlander maintained his longer than Felix did. Both pitchers around the same age in their career started to see a real drop-off in not only velocity but in production. Verlander has since rebounded. He's having a really solid 2016. A lot of his peripherals are great. His velocity's up somewhat. Do you think that this resemblance is anything more than just a lazy. Is there actually a reason to think that Felix could be going down a similar road, or what is this an accurate comparison, or is this just lazy analysis?
I think it's a fair comparison on the surface, but to use it in a way that suggests that this means Felix has an easy way to bounce back, I think is overly hopeful. It's different when you're like Felix and you're going from, oh, I was throwing 92 to I'm throwing 90. When you're Verlander, you're still throwing 93 even when you're declining. Like, there's a lot more margin for error there, and Felix just doesn't have it anymore.
Do you think that and Verlander's velocity has gone back up too since from its lows, and that's kind of atypical in a pitcher's career as well. Am I correct?
Yeah, velocity peaks essentially when you're drafted, and maybe you gain a little when you as you grow into your body a little bit, but after that, yeah, it's all downhill.
Unless you're James Paxton.
Unless you, or Jay Happ.
Man, fuck Jay Happ.
J-A-Y-Happ.
I love how even after a year removed, there's still like a involuntary stutter. You can't say Jay Happ. It's like J-A-Happ.
Yeah, Happ.
That trade is the Leonis Martin trade, only we're the Rangers. Because now I have to watch Happ and Saunders be good for the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
It's not something I really want to think about. Zach, going back to Felix, how you've been pronounced in our private discussions about you think that Felix is, if not necessarily finished, his days as a highly effective major league starting pitcher are at an end. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I'd say it's fair.
And you just don't see, is it the loss of velocity? Do you think he's just gone too far down in velocity to be able to be effective? Do you think it's a combination of loss of velocity and loss of command? Like, what is it about his performance that, is it just numbers, or is there something in his stuff watching him pitch that brings you to that conclusion?
Yeah, I think for me, it actually has to do more with the command than the velocity.
Mm-hmm.
While the velocity gives you more of a margin for error, he does have good off-speed stuff, and so he could kind of go through that next phase, even though he kind of found that next phase back in, 2008, 2009, we started throwing slower. So now he's going to may have to do it again. But for me, the issue is this is not a one-year thing. He also declined last year. I think that's what everyone is conveniently forgetting, and that this isn't all of a sudden off the cliff. He fell from 2014 to 2015, and now he's doing it again. There's starting to become a pattern, and that's what I start picking up on. And even if you watch him, right, like you can see, like he's struggling on the mound. He's not. It's not like, man, I think I'm doing great. It's just not working. He's struggling, and he knows it. And that's the scary thing. I don't know if he knows how he can fix it at this point. I think he's just getting through it.
Which, to his credit, he is very good at. He is an excellent. I mean, this is not any of our areas of expertise. That guy competes his ass off. He's not going to give in to anybody. But does anybody have a counter for Zach? Do you guys? I mean, David, you're the emotional rah rah guy of the site. Like, what do you see something? I mean, I'm just curious to hear the opposite side, because honestly, I love Felix and I can't be rational about him. But Zach's not wrong. I mean, there's nothing in there to really disagree. I wrote about it, I think, last week or maybe the week prior.
You know,
I think his days.
I don't see. I don't see anything. I mean, to be honest, his return from the DL with the calf issue has been better. But I mean, the loss of velocity 2 years on the trot and him being, I mean, this is his year 30 season. It's not like he's really, really old, but it's all about innings on the arm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's something to worry about. And as we all know, and we've all talked about before, there's, you know, the elbow clause in the contract. So, you know, like you said, he's a competitor. I believe a lot in him working on his pitches. I believe in him, you know, making the off-speed stuff more of what he's doing. But, I mean, he's still throwing his fastball half of the time, and people are finding it because it's, I mean, what, the average velocity is between 90 or 91. It's like, it's almost 91. So, I mean, losing that velocity, it matters. There's no question.
It doesn't help when you're throwing it center cut to Mike Trout with two people.
Yeah, and that's what's been, that's what's been hard to watch too. And I think maybe that has to do with him being, as you called him, such a competitor, is maybe he's overthrowing and only getting 92 miles an hour out of that fastball, and as such losing command.
I don't know. I don't like it. It doesn't make me happy. I can't believe we brought Zach on just to be like this sad.
I mean, I'll throw this out here. I mean,
I can't believe that.
It's not going to be, well, can't we all?
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, Scott. Go ahead.
No, I see the points, and obviously you'd have to be a fool to look at the statistical and visual evidence and not think that decline is real and that it's happening and that, you know, the best years are behind. But, you know, I think from an outside perspective, maybe we're a little too close to it. You look at, you know, what Verlander's doing and you say, oh, Verlander's kind of turned it around and figured it out again. Well, I mean, really what Verlander's done the last couple of years are not dissimilar from what Felix did last year and what Felix did in the first maybe 2 months of the season, outside of a few more walks and of course less strikeouts. Okay, now I'm talking myself out of it, but I'm just saying that, you know, there's a difference between saying he's toast, he's cooked, and he can't be a reliable starter. It's not like, you know, Felix is only, he's signed for 3 more years after this, and I still think that there's plenty of life left for him to be an asset in this rotation as long as the ace expectations are removed. And so I guess when I hear the doom and gloom, and it's not necessarily targeted at Zach, it's targeted at anybody that says, you know, it's over, and not saying that Zach is saying it's over. I'm just saying I guess I view a future where there is room. And I also think that Felix is a very smart and cerebral pitcher. Who has a lot of experience. He's got 12 years of major league experience, which is insane at age 30. So, yeah. You know, this is, there is a part of me that thinks that this is maybe as bad as it's going to get for the next couple of years. And then there's going to be natural adjustments that have to be made, but you know, we'll see. I don't know. Can he harness it? That's what it all comes down to. Can he harness it?
Yeah, I think the sadness is, I don't think there's a lot of people, and Zach, feel free to jump in if you strongly disagree and want to make us extra sad, but I don't think that there's a lot of people out there that are really thinking that he's toast, like you said. I think we're more just kind of mourning the loss of elite, because of what Felix was for so long. He was our paragon. He was our one shining beacon that carried this franchise for almost a decade, and just that's gone. And you know, even if they make the playoffs this year with him, it's not him at the height of his powers. You know, I was so bummed I was so glad that he got to pitch Sunday Night Baseball finally a few weeks ago against the Cubs, but it was such a bummer that, you know, on that national stage that they weren't getting Felix, you know, how we know that world destroying monster that he was for so many years. So I think there's just kind of a melancholy there. It also has something to do with the fact that I'm in my early to mid 30s and not appreciating the passing of time. So I may be projecting a little bit onto the whole experience. I don't know. I don't know. Let's move on to something happier.
I mean, 5-game winning streak. Let's come right out and just get doom and gloom.
Is Felix right out of the way?
Stay on brand.
Zach, are you still upset that we didn't trade at the trade deadline? You were so all for selling, and now the team is, what are they, 2.5 games out of the second wild card? How do you feel about the team and their chances right now for this year? And do their chances for this year even really impact how you feel about what they should have done at the trade deadline?
No, I mean, it's tough, right? The last 5 games have certainly, in a way, emotionally, it feels like it's a new season. There's almost that, what I call the team of destiny feel that we had with the Royals for a couple of years, where it's this, everything's breaking their way. They seem to be kind of figuring things out. But I think a playoff appearance would mean so much that at this point, right, it's hard to say, oh, now I guess we should have still sold, but even if knowing this, I'd say, yeah, let's keep going. I wouldn't say buy, but I'd say keep going. It's if they wouldn't have done this, they would have gone 500 since the deadline, let's say. And it'd be like, oh, we're still stuck in the same position. I would have stuck to my guns more. But it's I can't in good conscience be that doom and gloom that saying, yeah, we've won 5 row. I'd still like to burn it all down.
There is a ceiling of his gloom.
Well, you did say that about a minute ago, and I am going to cut that out and use it as the very beginning of the episode. You yelling to burn it down. I don't know how you guys feel. I feel like it's not just putting Edwin Diaz in as closer, but the way that they're very clearly trying to shuffle through this bullpen and get a back end of the game locked down, seventh, eighth, ninth inning. I'm really hugely encouraged by what I'm seeing there in the seventh, eighth, and ninth. Just the very clear emphasis on finding velocity, which is something that this bullpen really did not have much of at the beginning of the year. And now they have two guys in Caminero and Diaz that are throwing fire out there. And I mean, the bullpen's been a real just shit show the majority of the year. I think they have as many blown saves as any team in baseball, or close to, if it's not up there. But how do you guys feel about the bullpen right now? I view that as it kind of has a trickle down effect on the whole feel of the game on a daily basis.
Well, I apparently made the mistake on the site of saying that the bullpen was like doing very well, which apparently it's not. Against all odds, who knew? The bullpen's still horrible.
You hired him, asshole.
You're the one who kept him employed.
So I guess for me, and it kind of goes to back to the trade deadline, one of the things I've really been most impressed with regarding DePoto so far has been his willingness to go out and find at least a pitching piece that he thinks is useful and to do it at a super low cost. I was incredibly surprised that, first of all, Caminero was on the market, and two, he acquired him for two players to be named later, which, granted, we haven't gotten the players yet, but you have to assume that's a low cost. And especially regarding the level of injury that the relief pitching has gone through on this staff and the amount of nobodies who have walked through that bullpen and in and out of it and the whole Benoit saga, to get to where we are now with still, and unfortunately seeing Charlie Furbish go out for a year and a half as of today.
He's gone, by the way.
Yeah, he's done.
Yeah, I don't
he'll know. He'll never pitch in a Mariners uniform again.
Yeah.
Why would you tender him a contract next year? They're just not going to do it. I can't see any scenario in which they sit around and rehab him for a year and spend all that time on him for one more year left. After he's out next year, I can't see that.
No, we were trying to pivot to happier news.
Sorry, and I'm actually very disappointed about that.
Yeah,
on the happier side of things, you have at this point probably three guys in the pen right now who can touch 98 between Tom, Caminero, and obviously Diaz. So, I mean, the bullpen looks really good.
Well, Caminero and Diaz are. If Rollis Chapman is to velocity what Giancarlo Stanton is to power, Diaz and Caminero are like...
Are the Mark Trumbos.
Yeah.
They're like the Nelson Cruz and Bryce Harper of velocity. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're right there. Zach, are you feeling like you can see something good that DePoto's trying to do here with his bullpen, the way he's just churning through arms? Does it feel like there's a philosophical push towards gaining more velocity, or am I just making that up in my head?
I think velocity is an easy thing to acquire when you're doing what he's doing, which is trying to improve the team's upside.
Mm-hmm.
These guys could suck, and Storn has this year. Caminero has before he went in the DL. But that velocity gives you the chance of something greater than you get with someone even like he's not going to pitch this year, but Evan Scribner.
Right.
Evan Scribner's fine. He does okay things, but there's only so much he can do. But a guy that can throw 98, and with Caminero's case, he sits 98. That's his average. If he's right, he is a dominant bullpen arm, and you can't say that for a lot of other guys. And so that adds to the chances of if you catch some magic in a bottle, all of a sudden the ceiling is raised and this team can go to another level. And especially down the stretch, and I think DePoto knows that, and that's why he's very, very focused on it. He knows this is a weakness, and one or two games could be the difference. And over the course of the season, of course, we know the bullpen doesn't do much, but when those one or two games matter at the end, that extra one run you save essentially could make the playoffs.
I felt like something while you were talking just now really clicked in for me. And I think that I think a way to describe what they're trying to do this month is they're not going to buy really in the traditional sense, and they're not going to sell. Most of us were kind of pushing for the team just to hold steady for a variety of reasons at the deadline. But what it feels like they're doing is they're walking around snatching up lottery tickets wherever they can find them if they're free. And that's kind of what they're going for. You know, like, there's not a great chance that guys like Caminero and Drew Storton, the guys you were just talking about, are going to figure it out. But what DePoto is doing is he's going around just grabbing all of the big payoff stuff that he can find, especially if it's not going to cost him any money. And then if it all comes together, you know, then you end up, like Zach was talking about, with this, like, blessed, you know, Rocktober or Kansas City Royals run. Because this isn't it's just not one of the best teams in baseball, but they don't need to be at this point. They just need to be 2.5 games better than the Blue Jays and Red Sox, Orioles, Tigers, et cetera, et cetera. So,
speaking of picking up interesting upside pieces, something that is absolutely blowing my mind right now that kind of just decided to go off the radar is Yasiel Puig.
Yes.
What is the end there? I mean, that guy looks like he's going to be on the market.
Death comes for us all. We know this.
Come quickly, great one.
Well, there's the name of the podcast. Middle of a 5-game winning streak where the Mariners have a 1-0 lead. It's death comes
come
to
soon,
us all.
Great one.
I think Scott's right. I think you're kind of seeing it right now, right? This kind of feels like the death throes. I mean, somebody will take him next year. He'll be in a different organization next year. But unless you have, like, that dramatic turnaround, and I know that Jeff Sullivan kind of likened him to Alcides Escobar. Is that the one that's the third baseman for the Angels that's a prick? Alcides?
Yunel Escobar.
Yunel, thank you. Too many Escobars. Yunel's kind of a jackass and was a real jackass earlier in his career. And the guy's gone on to put up, you know, like 20 wins in the major leagues.
Yeah.
And Puig's got the talent, obviously, but I don't know, man. Like, he is
such an interesting trade target. There's a certain organization that has to be interested, and like, you have to be in a certain spot in where you're at in terms of competing. Obviously, if you're like an already competing team, you're not going to want to take that shot and just hand him an everyday role just like that. But for a team like the Mariners, it is kind of an ideal player to target to buy low on. Like, I'm not saying that it's a great idea to go buy him. Let's see what he does in AAA. But how can you not think about that potential?
Well, and it just
What is he like? 25?
25.
Yeah.
It just blows my mind the Dodgers can be a game out of the NL West and have that saga going on right now.
What does that say about Puig? That, you know, they're that close to the playoffs.
I mean, I don't know. What does it say about the Dodgers?
I mean, is it possible that, you know, Puig was it's a mental thing with him, and he wanted to be the guy, and he was the guy, and then he's on the Dodgers who have 10 other guys. I mean, do we all forget that Chase Utley is their second baseman? Like,
they have the 2009 NL All-Star infield.
Exactly. Okay. So maybe he gets out of that situation. It's better. I don't know.
Let's go to the chase here. Yes. Zach, if the cost to acquire were, in essence, zero, would you have, and you were the Mariners general manager, would you acquire Yasiel Puig?
Yes.
David?
Absolutely.
Scott?
Yes.
The potential downside of the bullshit that he brings to a major league clubhouse and the years and years of drama and all of that shit, none of you guys view that downside and the negative impact that could have as sufficient to not take that risk. Is that correct?
We all talked about this and privately, but if there's any clubhouse he could come into, I think it's ours.
Yeah.
You think because of guys like Edgar?
Yeah, and you have such a – I mean, like, the strength of the Mariners clubhouse is all Latin American players. It's his ideal, and it's a very strong, veteran-heavy base.
I think some guys like Leonis Martin and when he comes back, because he better fucking come back soon. Guillermo Heredia, when he comes Heredia, back up here, fellow Cuban guys that can. I don't know. It's got to be such a. I mean, the what are the Spanish speaking guys on the Dodgers? There's Adrian Gonzalez, who I've heard is a total jackhole. And
look up that team.
I know they have other ones, but I'm just they're totally slipping. So I'm kind of inclined to agree with you guys. I think the Mariners have a uniquely.
I'm not even sure Adrian Gonzalez speaks Spanish, to be honest with you.
He's from Mexico, you son of a bitch.
He's from San Diego.
No, he is.
No, he's from San Diego.
What?
Wait. Yep. He's an American, bro.
What?
This is America.
I'm willing to wager that Adrian Gonzalez can speak Spanish.
Although he does have two accents over the letters in his name, but he is
Josh Fields is a
very
Dodger.
Much from America.
Probably, maybe he speaks Spanish. I don't know. I'm not trying to venture into racial stereotypes here, but
no, I wasn't.
I
just knew that.
Yeah.
San Diego fact.
I did not know that, and that's my mistake. I probably was giving too much weight to which team a player plays for in the World Baseball Classic. That's on me.
But honestly, there's not a lot of Latin American players on the Dodgers.
Which is interesting in a community that's so...
You got Yasmani Grandal.
Yeah, Yasmani Grandal.
Not
vocal.
Yimi Garcia, Pedro Baez.
But not vocal, Arias, like, leader, clubhouse leader kind of guys. Like, not like... There's not like there's a Juan Uribe still sitting out there who's got this legendary clubhouse presence and is bilingual and can...
Well, and that's it. I mean, like, you got Edgar, who, I mean, let's face it, the knock on Puig right now is that he can't hit. So you got Edgar's your hitting coach. You got Robinson Cano. You got Nelson Cruz. I mean, the list goes on and on. Goody. You got Martin. It's, in my opinion, the Mariners are his ideal clubhouse, so, if that's what you're worried about.
Let me reframe my question then, and then here's what I'd like to know. If you could pick up, say that the cost is the same, and you can get him... Either.
What is nothing, though? Call it a 10 through 5 M's prospect.
I think this conversation gets a lot more interesting if you say, would you give Tyler O'Neill for him?
Hell no.
That's where I was going.
I think that that's a reasonable thing. Even at a buy-low thing, I still think it takes him or Gohara or something like that.
Gohara's fine.
If it's Gohara, I'm in.
The system's so weak. O'Neill's no. I go to literally what's like the second best prospect in the system. We're all like, yeah,
it's Kyle Lewis. Fine. Death comes for us all.
Sad cast.
It is a sad cast. Let me rephrase the question then, and then I'm interested to know what you guys think about this. Because I'd like to see him take a shot at Puig too. I think they could do that. But if you could choose between acquiring him for the same cost to acquire today. Or during the offseason before next year, would you do it today? Like, do you want Puig to come into this clubhouse tomorrow
right now
and try to blend in with his team as they try to stretch drive through the rest of September? Or would you like to have them – would you rather, in a more ideal situation, have him come in after the year is over?
If the cost is the same, I'd take him now.
Really? You don't you're not giving a lot of weight to the idea of – just and I'm not saying you should just clubhouse con.
Yeah. No, I actually do give some weight to it, but I give the proper amount of weight that says this team is 2.5 games back in a second wild card spot. Like the chemistry is fine, but it's not like it's one thing if you say, do you want to bring in Puig and you're the Texas Rangers and you have everything to lose and nothing really to gain. You're already winning the division. The Mariners aren't in that situation and they have a serious open spot in left field.
Either David or Zach, do either of you guys have anything you want to add to that?
I'd wait until next year.
Me too. It for me, it also depends what the plan is with Guillermo.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's not going to be a star player. His upside
is not
going to
come in and
like
get
Puig.
You two wins down the stretch. Of course not.
Like but, what is Yasiel Puig's Puig? His Puig. What's his peak play?
His peak.
No, his peak
is 6 weeks left.
No. I'm sorry, but if he reaches his ceiling as a player, he's what, a top 15 position player?
Perennial All Star, 5 wins.
I mean, we kind of saw it in whatever his first year was, 2012.
First
2 years, yeah.
Yeah, he was a house of fire. I mean, he was
everything.
It was 2013, I think.
Maybe that's not, that sounds about right. So
yeah.
Okay. Well, that'll be a fun. I think we should table it. First of all,
I mean, it it doesn't. It honestly, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter.
It's not going to happen.
There's, it's not going to happen. There's no way he would get through the entire National League on waivers before he could even be traded for in the American
League.
So
agree.
It's,
that's something to save for the offseason anyway.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, David. God, jeez.
I just wanted to, you know, talk to you guys.
What else do you guys, what else would you guys like to chat? We don't have a huge amount of time left before we're going to have to go, but any last,
well, should we go to, should we take a, should we do a sponsor then take some Twitter Q&A?
Zach, are you okay answering the questions of the people?
Are they the unwashed people?
They are your people, yes.
Oh, I don't like my own people.
All right, let's do a quick word from our sponsor. David, who's our sponsor this week?
Our sponsorship comes in actually this week from the company, the technological company Niantic.
Oh, I've heard of them.
Yes. Yeah. Am I on the mic here?
I can do it. Whoever wants to
do it.
Yeah. You want me to take it?
Yeah, Nathan, take it.
All right. Hey there, folks. Nathan Bishop here to tell you about the most recent addition to my social life, Pokemon Go. There used to be a time where going to the park was just about getting mauled by dogs, smelling things, and getting bit by scratchy bugs. That all changed when I downloaded Niantic's Pokemon Go, the new augmented reality game from Nintendo, featuring our favorite pocket monsters. Remember when you were a kid and all you wanted to do was take a long walk with some friends? Well, thanks to Niantic's Pokemon Go, it feels just as good to do that as an adult. Choose a team with your friends and go hunt for Pokemon in the woods, the beach, or, if you're like me, on the front lawn with a nice cold beer and a two-day-old pizza. Tired of walking because of all the pizza? No worries. Just call a cab, Uber, or witless friend to drive you around town. We all know the dating scene is a bust, so why not go make it big and catch some rare Pokemon at the local watering hole instead? There's no better way to spend time this summer with your friends, or, let's face it, without those jerks, while catching little beasts that could never let you down or leave you. Can you catch them all? We are going to do a few minutes of your Twitter questions. As always, we are so thankful to you fine people and not so fine people who take your time to send us 140 characters of almost comprehensible gibberish. David, what is the first question that we have today?
Our first question comes in from friend of the podcast, Josh Kuh, who you can find at Josh Kuh, K-U-H, number 44.
Is that the way that you mispronounced his name before, or is that a correction?
No, that was Casperson, who is Casper,
whatever,
son of Casper.
You distinctly mispronounced his name.
Yeah, he's gonna be pissed again. It's fine. He's like,
Josh. Oh yeah, it's like Josh Cow.
Oh, whatever. He's like 14 years old. It's not a problem.
Yeah, he's cool.
Wow, making friends, guys.
Josh, your comments are no longer welcome.
He wants to know, out of the other wild card contenders, who would you most like to play against? Because he didn't specify, say, for the one game play-in.
I mean, is it for entertainment or just the team I think we could beat?
Well, who would you most like to play against?
Right now, I'd love to play the Detroit Tigers.
Feels good.
It's working out okay right now.
I don't really have a strong counter for that.
How deep down do we go for the quote-unquote contenders?
Well, I think any team that's currently above the Mariners that's not the Indians or the Rangers.
So no Yankees.
No.
No Houston.
For me, the answer is Boston, because you can end David Ortiz's career and watch the light go out in his eyes.
I would love that.
I don't think there's another answer unless you guys have anything else.
I would love one game playoff to be the end of David Ortiz's career.
I'd be okay facing Baltimore, too, to be honest. I'd like to
give it to Baltimore.
Yeah, as long as it's, you know, if nothing changes and as long as it's not Toronto, do not want to play Toronto.
Jeez.
Either Baltimore or Boston is fine, but I'd rather play Baltimore.
If both teams are full strength, our pitching feels like it matches up better with Baltimore's pitching than most of those other teams. Because we don't have that elite top shelf starter the way that those other teams do. So, I mean, who's Baltimore? If Baltimore can pick one pitcher to throw at you, who are they throwing?
Wade Miley.
Joe Saunders.
Wade Miley. And that is a great tie-in to the next question I was going to go to, which comes in from Chris, who you can find at I Love Muninori, our old friend. He wants to know, in the theoretical wild card playoff game, who's pitching for us?
If everyone's full rest?
Yeah.
Like, who do we think is going to pitch, or who do we want to?
Who do we want? Who do we want with the ball in their hand for that game? Keeping in mind, you're playing, if you win, you play again in 2 days.
God, that's a hard question.
Yeah, that's tough.
I think it's Felix, just because it's your guy.
I mean, that's
your
who
gamer.
Would do it. If he's
it will be Felix, and in my mind, it should be Felix.
And the way that Iwakuma pitched last time.
I kind of agree with you, David. I kind of agree with you. I just don't think you can give it to anybody else.
I would go Iwakuma.
Man, he looks so good
right now. He's been great.
I would say Iwakuma over Paxton.
I would be inclined to agree with that.
Yeah.
Those swings that Iwakuma had, who did he pitch against? Was it the Tigers? It was the Tigers. Monday. Those guys, he was just fucking with them. Like
Monday the 12th. Good day.
In the year of our Lord, 3042. no, I've been really impressed with Iwakuma. This has exceeded my expectations for him after what was a really disappointing first third or so of the season. So,
did any of us think about giving it to Pax?
No. Do you think the Pax wants that heat? Don't you think he feels like Eric Bedard when he was the opening day starter in 2008 or something?
No, thanks.
I'll feel prepared to answer that question in 6 weeks. Right now, I'm not ready to give that to Paxton.
You're not? Yeah.
Even then, I don't know that I am.
He did 3 days ago take a ball directly off the tip of his elbow at about 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And he's theoretically okay.
Yeah. I mean.
God, I love theories.
Dying the way that we all are. But.
Jeez.
What
our next question comes in from Damon Chlarson.
What?
I've been misreading this guy's name the entire time I've been on Twitter. Damon Chlarson.
Is that a CHL with nothing in between?
Yes. Who you can find at Damon_Chlarson. And he wants to know, Guillermo Heredia, full stop. What do we think? A future everyday player or nah?
I want Zach to answer this question first.
I don't think he's a league average everyday player. I think he's maybe a one win left fielder, which is something, but I think he's best as your fourth outfielder platoon guy.
I mean, if Nori Aoki has been an everyday outfielder ranging between a win and a half to two wins over the course of the last 4 years, and I think Heredia can do that. But in reality, do I want him as an everyday guy? Probably not.
I mean, what's Heredia's 90th percentile outcome? Like, if everything goes crazy for him, like, what does he do?
Well, he can pull an Aoki and get 25 doubles.
I could see him hitting 30 doubles and stealing 20 bags and hitting 275 and maybe slugging like 390. So, like, you know, WRC plus of like 110. In a career year or something,
and with good defense.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're looking at like kind of what
if he's in a corner spot, it's plus defense.
Yeah,
if he's in center, not
yeah, and
so
that's
much.
The problem. His skill set, he's not quite good enough at defense to be an everyday starter at center, and the bat isn't good enough to really play every day in the corner. So he's a useful piece, and he certainly is an improvement over what the Mariners have been running out the majority of the year, but. I'm glad that he's here. I'm really encouraged by his ability to not hack wildly at everything. It's been really refreshing to see. But yeah, fun, good, not necessarily something that we're going to plan on having for the next 5 years for 150 games or so. Right?
Because we'll have Puig. So we have a question coming in from Kingdome Turf, who you can find at Kingdome Turf.
One of my favorite dudes.
Yeah, absolutely. How do you see Vogelbach Peterson playing out in both 16 and 17?
Who the hell is Vogelbach Peterson?
He's a famous composer. Great on the keys.
You should know that, Nathan.
I should know that.
You went to music school.
I feel terrible. Who wants to lead this one off? So the question is, how do we feel about like DJ Peterson and Daniel Vogelbach being a first base platoon in 2017?
I don't even think, is it a platoon? Well, I think it's Vogelbach is.
I don't think DJ Peterson is a major league baseball player.
I'm not convinced.
Currently, either. Technically correct.
I don't think that he'll ever find success at the major league level. I don't want to go out on a limb, but it's. I mean, there's improvement, quote unquote, but I'm still not impressed at all.
So, but what about Vogelbach?
Yeah.
Sorry, who did I just cut off? Zach?
He hasn't failed for as long.
He hasn't failed for as long. Mariners base, man, this is a sad cast.
I actually really, I'll just say, right, I really like Vogelbach. I really do.
Yeah, so do I.
I watched him play once and he hit the ball really far many times, so sure.
And I have to give Zach credit here. He claimed wanting this move probably 6 weeks before it happened.
Is this true, Zach?
Yeah.
I don't remember this.
Yeah, I think when we were initially with rumors that the Cubs sniffing around the bullpen.
Is it the OBP that you like with Vogelbach, the ability to work the count?
And, his general thickness.
I mean, Dejo Lee's no spring chicken. He's not going to be able to play forever. Who will assume the mantle?
There's a certain thickness that I just find appealing.
here's my question. Is Vogelbach, for better or worse, Mike Karp?
That's like from from the right side.
From a skill set standpoint?
Yeah.
If you look at what Mike Karp did in 2007, 2008, somewhere around there, it's pretty similar to what Vogelbach is doing now.
Karp coming up through the minors was never seen as a power bat, though.
Wasn't Karp also like 25 when that was happening?
I don't think it's a fair comparison. I think if you want to compare Vogelbach, it's Jack Cust.
Yeah, well, Vogelbach only got 18 homers and 450 plate appearances this year. I know the power is something, but
the raw power is there. When he squares it up, it goes a mile.
Statistically, there's not a ton of evidence. The guy's got, I mean, I don't know, he's never hit more than 20 homers in a season.
Yeah. And I don't even know if he's a first baseman. That's the thing. So that draws into a whole other set of questions of, like, if he's not a first baseman and you're not going to trade Nelson Cruz, you should probably trade Nelson Cruz after this year. If he's still here, he's going to be the DH. So where is Vogelbach going to be?
Or Peterson, yeah.
The Mariners will figure it out. They've been employing five of them a year for the last 4 years. So
eventually, these DHs got to stick somewhere, right?
Eventually, fingers crossed, we'll add that second DH.
There's always DHs in the banana stand.
Zach, general thickness aside, is there a player whose skill set Vogelbach reminds you of, like a big league comp?
I think it's Jack Cust.
Oh, you said that already. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think the raw power's there. Maybe the totals for the year never kind of match up, but he's very patient. He can't play in the field at all. And the left hand, I haven't really looked down and compared their swings, but just the fact they're both left-handed kind of just seals the deal for me.
They're not totally dissimilar swings, just both by, like, very short, and these men can only stretch so far with the way that their build is, so the bat can only go a certain amount of space.
There's only so much sun salutation these guys can get.
That's exactly right. The warrior pose is not their friend.
So sort of along these lines, we have a question that came in from Benjamin Casperson.
Ben the analyst?
Ben the analyst.
Love Ben the analyst.
And he wants to know, out of the three with team options for 17, Lind, Aoki, and Iannetta, who do you bring back?
If he is willing to be in a less than 50% playing time situation in spring training.
I could see bringing back Lind, but I don't, and that's under the supposition, I don't think you're keeping Dio Lee.
I don't think he's back.
I don't. Wait, can you rephrase the question?
Sure.
I mean, Adam Lind. I'm just trying to. Adam Lind doesn't have an option.
He doesn't.
2016.
It's not. I don't think it's so. Not at Ben the guy that knows contracts.
I was under the impression that Lind was a free agent after this year.
That was my understanding.
I thought he had a team option.
I thought that Aoki was a not a team option. It was a qualifying. Yeah,
it's vesting.
Yeah, that's correct. So this question is now just completely fucked.
Ben has, yeah, he's a unrestricted free agent. Adam Lind is. Never mind.
He's led us astray. Let's do one more.
And Nori is a mutual option that can vest if he hits a certain amount of plate appearances.
428 or something.
And mutual options never get exercised.
That is true. Let's do one more question that's actually asking information that we can answer factually, and then I'll go about our different evenings.
This comes in from Noah DuPont.
Uh-oh.
Who you can find at...
I know what this is going to be about.
Noah's a dork.
Can confirm.
You have to pick one favorite moment from this season so far.
This isn't about red wine with ice cubes in it?
That's later. But we have to pick one favorite moment.
From this year?
From this season.
That's too hard.
Mine's the Leonis Martin walk-off against Oakland. I was there, so I'm biased towards it, but that was such a shot in the arm.
Man, it's going to be recency bias for me, but that home run that Sean O'Malley hit on Saturday night was just
that's
so good. I mean,
that's incredible.
It just
that's a top moment for me.
Is it the top moment?
I mean, right now I'm feeling like Seager's homer in the eighth was a top moment for me because I was there.
Unreal, yeah.
I was there. But I would probably give it up to O'Malley, or I would give it up to Lind versus St. Louis, just because it was so unexpected. Golf, and he was just golfing that thing.
Ripped the shit out of it too. Like, just
crushed it.
Yeah.
I mean that was a really fun. It. By the way, how awesome is it that it is hard to make this decision because been so many walk-offs.
You just left out like eight things.
Well, Zach hasn't answered yet.
Well, he doesn't like happiness.
Yeah, it's going to be from a loss.
Yeah, I would say mine was last Tuesday's against the Red Sox. That hell of a comeback in the
Robbie's three-run home run in the eighth and that whole thing.
Yeah, I mean,
they were dead.
We had Wade LeBlanc starting against David Price. We had brought in Don fucking Roach to the game, and yet we still won. Like, that doesn't happen.
Don Roach, who is no longer with us.
Yeah, bless his heart.
Bless his heart.
Death comes for us all.
I was going to earlier see if we could all off the cuff name the current members of the Mariners bullpen, because I don't think I could.
Jarrett Grubb.
There's been 22 relievers that have pitched for the Mariners this year. The
better question is, how many of you can you name? It's like trying to name like the, you know.
I got
when
it.
Someone said Steve One. Johnson, I totally forgot. About Steve Johnson.
He was here for an extended period of time.
He was good.
Sure.
He was good like Roy Corcoran was good.
No, man. Roy Corcoran was the shit.
Wow.
I like
Blake Parker. I enjoyed Roy Corcoran.
What about
Roy? So did I.
What?
Didn't Corcoran have almost as many walks as strikeouts that year? And still had an ERA of like 3-1 or something?
Yes.
That's what matters. He didn't give up any runs.
Yeah, exactly.
See?
Results-based analysis.
Love to
do you know how I've become a white-hot baseball analysis? It's with statements like that.
It's true.
Hey, Jim Bowden makes so much more money than all of us.
Speaking of Bowden,
you mean Ralph?
I do.
Ralph.
Our dear friend Ralph.
It brings me so much joy that on Twitter, anytime he posts a rumor or something, people still reply to him and say, thanks, Ralph.
It's not people, it's Zach. Every single time.
He and I, we're really close. Me and Ralph.
It's just one of my favorite things.
Do you gentlemen have any parting words before we sail off into the evening?
Let's win one more and roll out the biz, huh?
Currently they're winning 1-0 in the fourth. And it feels good. Zach, thanks for joining us, man.
And Felix looks good.
Yeah, he does. Zach, it's been perfectly fine having you here.
Thank you. Felix will fall apart in the fifth. Thank you for your time.
Wow.
And go Biz. I will not be here next week. I don't know if Scott and David are going to try to throw something together, but I will be in Glacier National Park, far away from all of this, and I will be happy to come back to a 15-game win streak. So until 2 weeks from now, at least. Go Biz. We'll see you then.